Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Tuesday, January the 24th, and welcome to our commentary. If you live in North Texas, then you know we're getting a lot of rain and temperatures, I think, in the low 40s, so we're not going to get snow or ice, but it's going to create a lot of traffic problems. So if you can work from home today, this is a good day for that. And if you're going home, you may want to take some time going home, because the traffic around here is going to be one heck of a mess. Well, guess what? We found new documents, but this time the documents are in Vice President Pence's home. Of course, he's not vice president anymore, as you know. But I think it really goes to show the insanity of this whole documents thing, that the Democrats, in their craziness to go after Trump, have now created this whole problem. We wouldn't be talking about Biden's documents or Pence's documents or anything like that if it weren't for the fact that the standard was created when they sent the FBI to get the documents at President Trump's home. And the consequence now is that this documents thing is a big deal. It's a big deal. Obviously, it's a big deal because, you know, it was created by sending the FBI. Now, my feeling, and I've mentioned this before, is I think we need to be looking at what exactly is going on in this office that tracks these documents. Because there doesn't seem to be a lot of urgency when the documents are in the hands of Biden, Mike Pence, and God only knows what Obama or Bush may have. I wouldn't be surprised if they do, or Dick Cheney or whatever. And again, I'm not saying that those people are bad people. I'm just saying that they probably have documents too in some of those many boxes that they took out of the White House. So I think it may be time to take a look at this Office of the Archives and take a look at who's running it. Take a look at their political affiliations. Because when I see, for example, the way they reacted with President Trump, where they were constantly, you know, after Trump, you know, trying to get those documents back from Trump, as they say. But for some reason, these documents of Joe Biden and now Mike Pence stayed out of the office, if you will, out of the archives for years. And apparently nobody missed these documents. Nobody was missing them. That tells me that there's maybe a problem in the Office of the Archives, whatever their name is, and that we got to take a look at who's running that office and what their productivity is. And maybe we want to look at their political intentions, because they're not treating everybody the same way here. If your name is Trump, the urgency goes up, way up if your name is Trump. If your name is Biden, the documents are missing for 6 years, and apparently nobody cares. So I think we got to take a look at that agency and just at least maybe restaff it or take a look at the people, maybe bring them all into a room and have a special meeting of how to do things. And the next time we have a president leaving the White House, maybe we need to have a better accounting of how these documents are put in the box or wherever they go. Because obviously there's different standards here, and that's a bad thing. Anytime you've got different standards, you're just asking for trouble, as we are seeing with all these documents right now. Well, if you're familiar with California, you know a couple of things. Number one, a lot of people are leaving California, but also you may be familiar with the fact that they're going to be having some real financial troubles here, because they've got a $25 billion deficit. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. Even for a big state like California, that's a lot of money. So they're going to have to either raise taxes or cut spending to balance the books out there, because they have to. According to the state constitution, they have to balance the books just like we do here in Texas. And the real problem in California is that less and less people are paying more and more taxes. In other words, like 1%. I saw an article here in the last couple of days where 1% of the taxpayers in California pay like 40 or 50% of the taxes. And, you know, businesses are overtaxed. Businesses are overregulated. That's why they're leaving. That's why so many people are moving out, because it is so difficult to live out there. I mean, especially now that you cannot deduct your state income taxes from your federal income taxes, you know. So whatever you charge out there, people have to pay it. It doesn't come off your federal taxes as it did a few years ago. So California is in trouble. I mean, the governor realizes he's either going to have to raise taxes $25 billion or he's going to have to cut spending $25 billion, and neither one is a pretty option. So he's been talking a lot. This is, of course, Governor Newsom, who many people think is going to be running for president, and he may very well run for president. And Governor Newsom is now suggesting, I don't know how they would pull this off, but he's suggesting that maybe they're going to go after people who used to live in California and charge them taxes. So if you moved from California to Texas, let's say, or wherever, you know, you're going to get a bill in the mail from California saying, hey, you owe some money from your time here. I think it's pretty stupid. I don't think they can pull that off, because I don't, unless you signed a piece of paper that says you have to pay these taxes after you leave, I don't know how they're going to collect these taxes from people who no longer live there. But the real problem in California, the real problem, and maybe one of these days they're going to figure it out, because they keep losing people and they keep losing businesses. The real problem is that less and less people are paying more and more of the tax burden. So if you are of a certain group in California, you're paying very high taxes. But there's another group that is not paying any taxes. So there's a lot of people in California who are really getting a free lunch from the Golden State. And when I say a free lunch, I'm not saying they don't pay taxes. They probably pay sales tax or whatever. But they're getting from the state of California a heck of a lot more than what they're paying in. That's why I mean it's a free lunch. You know, the roads, the schools, the infrastructure, the public hospitals, even some of the private hospitals, I would think, the bridges, all that stuff costs money. And it all comes from taxes. So if less and less people are paying taxes, or less and less people are, or let me put it this way, more and more people are paying a higher proportion of the taxes, pretty soon a lot of those people are going to say, you know what, this is not for me, I'm getting out. And that's what's happening. And that's what's happening in California. So, you know, I feel bad. It's a beautiful state. At one time, it was probably, you know, right after World War II in the 50s and 60s, it was probably the, you know, the middle class state in the Union. It was the most attractive place to live, beautiful weather, beautiful economy. Now here recently, it's become a real mess. And I don't know whether they can pull themselves out of this or not. As I said, they've got a $25 billion deficit, and they're going to have to either cut spending or raise taxes. I don't think they can raise taxes any more than they already have. And in the past, they've gotten away a little bit by simply getting federal money, as they've done in some of these programs that President Biden signed. Well, that's not going to happen anymore, because that money's not coming with a Republican House. So they're going to have to make some tough decisions in California. And I guess more people will leave. That's all I can tell you. And as I was telling my friend Bill Katz yesterday when we were doing our podcast with him, it's sad to see parts of the country just destroy themselves, as we're seeing with California and with New York. California and New York, every day more and more people leave. And they leave for the same reason. You can live better somewhere else. And when you can live better somewhere else, a lot of people are going to take you up on that and say, okay, I'm gone. good luck, but I can't take it anymore, and they're gone. And that's the people going to New York, from New York to Florida, from Texas to California and other states, Illinois, they're moving to Ohio, Indiana, and that's what's happening. People are simply saying, you know what, I can live better somewhere else, so I'm packing up and I'm leaving. It's a shame, but that's what's happening in California. Well, I've got a post over at the American Thinker today talking about Vice President Harris. You know, she gave a speech about abortion, and she was literally quoting the Declaration of Independence, but she forgot to say life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. She spoke about liberty and the pursuit of happiness, but she did not say life. Now, I wonder why. Is it because she was speaking about abortion? She was speaking at the 50th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, which is a little stupid because Roe v. Wade was overturned a year ago. But anyway, she was speaking about that and saying that the Republicans want to ban abortion, which is, again, nonsense, because what the Supreme Court did was to return the abortion issue to the states. So if you live in California, which is the vice president's home state, there's no difference out there. You have the same abortion availability out in California or New York or Illinois that you did with Roe v. Wade. No difference at all. Now, if you come to Texas and some other places, yes, there will be some restrictions. But the vice president forgot to say life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And she just said liberty and the pursuit of happiness. Well, that's wrong. It should be life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But of course, she didn't want to mention life because she was talking about abortion. And if you say that, if you quote the Declaration correctly, then, you know, the life word may, you know, conflict a little bit with your message about abortion. Well, we're going to close today by wishing a happy number 82 to Neil Diamond. Great performer, great songwriter, Sweet Caroline. I think that was his biggest hit, Sweet Caroline and Cracklin' Rosie, a bunch of them that he wrote back then. And we also remember today on this day that Winston Churchill, the great Prime Minister of the UK, passed away on this day in 1965. He was 90 years old. I'm a huge fan of Winston Churchill. Love many of the things that he wrote. And there's a great... I have a post today in my blog, and it's also going to be featured tonight over at the Babalu blog, where it tells the story of how Winston Churchill fell in love with Cuban cigars. He was a young man. He went to Cuba. This is about 120 years ago or so. He went to Cuba as a very young man in some military assignment with the British government, and while he was there, he looked at a cigar and said, I like this. And he became a huge fan of Cuban cigars. And in fact, that big, big cigar that many people like, you know, the long one, the huge one, that's called Churchill. And that's in honor of Winston Churchill. You know, my late father used to tell me that for many, many years, the Cuban embassy in London would take a box of cigars to Winston Churchill just about every week, of the finest and freshest Cuban cigars, and they would give it to Winston Churchill once a week or once a month or whatever there in London. He loved Cuban cigars. He just loved Cuban cigars. Winston Churchill, who passed away on this day in 1965. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and if you're in North Texas, bring an umbrella because it's raining like crazy. Thank you, and have a wonderful day, everybody.